Please turn to 646 in the red hymnal. We'll read responsively. I'll start, and I would like for you to follow. The Risen Lord. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you."
After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. His disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great and glorious day. We thank you that Friday was not the end, but that Sunday was a new beginning. We thank you for the great sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, but more importantly, we thank you for his resurrection. And we hope this day will be a day of celebration, and we hope this day will also be a signal that we can be resurrected in our lives as Jesus sacrificed himself and showed us that resurrection is possible. We pray that Pastor Joseph will be the messenger today. We thank you for all those who've come today to celebrate this great and glorious day. In Jesus' name, amen.
There's a great competition going on these days, and if I were to ask you, what do you think? What kind of competitions are going on? Some of you would say Boston against the Canadiens or the politicians. The politicians. Now, once in a while, or very often actually, we have those who claim to be the messiahs or will be like messiahs, will make Canada be a heaven or the best place to live. And they have all kinds of promises, and they've got all kinds of numbers, and they've got all kinds of things to excite the population. There's a great anticipation about the new government. As a matter of fact, some of them voted yesterday, some will be voting tomorrow, and then a few days later, the rest. And what is it that they want? They want the person who has the best-looking personality, looks the best, talks well, and promises things that everyone would agree with. And yet, we've been doing this for a long time, and we have not yet found the Messiah. Well, I suppose the same thing was happening though in those days with the Jews or the children of Israel. They were waiting for the best possible government. They were waiting for the Messiah. And they've been praying. Every woman, every young girl wanted, was praying to be the mother that will give birth to the Messiah. And when the Messiah came, they could not recognize him. Year after year, around this time, people around the world in general, but especially among those who call themselves Christian, there is excitement and anticipation about Easter. Churches prepare all kinds of programs and activities to commemorate the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Some of the things that have become part of Easter celebrations are colored eggs, Easter bunnies, chocolate rabbits, and all kinds of other activities that have nothing to do with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, let's start with the term Easter. This term is not of Christian origin, actually. It comes from the word Astarte, which is one of the names of the Chaldean goddess of the Babylonians, considered to be Queen of Heaven. Nowhere in the New Testament Easter is mentioned. The word used in the Greek, in the original Greek New Testament, is Pascha, which refers to the biblical Passover. Now, all this does not mean that we must not remember and celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, Jesus told his disciples, and I quote now, "In the same way after supper he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" What separates the Christian faith from all others is the historical fact of Christ's life, death, and resurrection. Looking back in the human history, there are many great leaders. Looking back in the religious history of the human race, there are so many messiahs or leaders who created religions, and yet there is no one who alive of those who created those religions. There is not one who claimed to be coming back, and yet Jesus did say exactly that. The resurrection of Christ from the dead is the one most important and well-documented historical fact in the whole of human knowledge and history. It's the most important and well-documented historical fact in the whole human knowledge and history. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the greatest event of all ages toward which all previous history moved and in which all history finds its meaning. We say this is 2011. Why? Who came up with this idea? Well, it was the birth of Jesus Christ. And because Jesus was born on this earth, and because Jesus lived a holy life, and because Jesus paid the price on the cross, and because Jesus Christ is alive, was resurrected, all history has been changed, or at least history has been shaped around his life, his resurrection. Can you think of a more exciting and comforting message than the message of immortality, unending life? Before his death, Jesus had said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. Whoever believes in me will never die." Now, either this is the greatest lie that was ever uttered, or it is the greatest promise, the greatest gift to the human race. "Because I live," he said, "you will live also." I know, you're talking like a religious priest and like a pastor. You're saying the things you read there and you're repeating. No, I'm saying all this because I believe in my heart that unless Christ is alive, I'm a fool. And I believe every one of you is a fool. Why would you be here? Why wouldn't you go downtown and have a good time? If the whole thing is a lie? But because he lives, we are here. The thought of immortality had excited his followers, but then they witnessed his death and burial and all their hopes and excitement turned into disappointment and depression. When I wrote that, I thought of the politicians when, once again in our country. All that excitement that there is today, shouting, I will, he will, he's bad, I'm good, will be all forgotten come a month later or a few days after the elections. Well, that's how, and people in Canada will be so discouraged, disappointed, and will be looking now for the next Messiah with the next list of promises. Well, that's exactly how this the Jews felt, and everyone who was there felt. Well, they had put their faith and hopes on this Messiah, on this rabbi, on this great teacher who healed the people, fed the people, said the things that they had never heard. His look alone would penetrate the hearts and souls of those who would meet him, and lives would be reborn. And yet they saw him on the cross dying, and all their hopes died with him. Jesus, their Messiah, and only hope was gone now, and they were left alone. That is why the women who came to his tomb were astonished when they heard the most exciting message that was ever proclaimed. The message was this: why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Can you imagine the excitement? Can you imagine? I believe they thought, maybe they're dreaming, maybe they thought they were sleepwalking, or maybe they thought someone was playing a dirty trick on them. And yet, when they looked, the angel said, don't look for Jesus among the dead. The dead are gone. Jesus is alive. That meant that Jesus was alive. And if Jesus was alive, then they would also live according to his promises. When these women returned and told the apostles what it had happened, they did not believe them at all. It was nonsense, they thought. Incredible, fantastic, unbelievable. That is what they thought. That is until Peter made a personal visit to the tomb and saw only the strips of linen lying there. Peter returned, wondering and trying to solve the mystery. Now, it doesn't mean because he was not there, Jesus was alive, Peter thought. Well, these Romans are playing a trick. Oh no, the Jewish rabbis or the Jewish leaders are playing a trick on us. They just stole his body, so we won't claim it and bury it, give him an honorable burial. He was buried already. And so he went home, wondering. Two others were now returning home, discouraged, and said, not knowing what had really happened to Jesus. As they walked, a stranger came up and walked with them and talked with them about the event. Do you know the hymn? And he walks with me and he talks with me. Well, that's exactly what happened with Jesus. He walked with them and talked with them. A dead man cannot walk and talk. A dead man cannot have a conversation. They could not even think for a moment that who was walking with them was Jesus, because Jesus had prevented them from recognizing him for a while. But they did not recognize him at first. At the end of the journey, they invited him in for the night. At the table, he took bread, prayed, and when he gave a little bit of bread to them, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. The nail-pierced hands, of course, were there to prove that he was indeed the Lord Jesus Christ. And the fact that their hearts were burning within them was something that they could not ignore. Their hearts felt the presence of Christ. They had seen Jesus. That called for celebration now. But they were not about to celebrate alone, even though it was midnight. And they could not just pick up the phone and call their friends. They raced back to Jerusalem. It was a day's journey, actually, where they found them also thinking and wondering. But before the two could share their joyful news, the disciples said, "It is true, the Lord is risen." Then it was the turn of the two from Emmaus to say, "Yes, yes, we know, because he walked with us and he talked with us. And he came into our home and he revealed himself to us when he broke the bread with us. Yes, it is true. He is alive." The fact of Christ's resurrection is of great significance for every Christian. Because he lives, we will live also, including all our friends and relatives who have died in the Lord. And this takes faith, obviously. That is why Jesus said, "Unless you become like one of these children, you will never inherit the kingdom of God." And that does not mean blind faith. I always say God does not want us to be blind in our faith. I don't have a blind faith. I have a seeing faith. I can see. I can see the universe. I can see the trees. I can see the creation. I can see changed people. I can see the sun. I can see everything that happens around me. For I know for sure that this is not an accident. I don't believe, like some scientists say, that all is an accident. What is an accident is that they cannot believe. They should have believed with all the information they have. No, we don't have a blind faith, we have a seeing faith. Even though we see all these things, even though Jesus came and died on the cross, people still could not believe him, and today people still reject him. Today, the name of Christ is a stumbling block to many. Our country, our nation, U.S., Europe, and all these big countries are trying to become so politically correct that they want to remove the name of Jesus. They want to remove the Bible from the hotels. They don't want the schools to use any prayers. They even want to remove the statement, "In God we trust." They have removed already Christ from Easter as we celebrate, and they replaced it with a bunny, with a chocolate little thing. Why? Because they feel that the time is getting closer and closer, that Christ will deal with each one of us. Because he lives, we will live also. The one most exciting thing in human experience is the thought that we are immortal. That we cannot die. That whatever happens to the body, we will live on and on and on. How can we be so sure of this? We are sure because Jesus rose from the dead, a well-established fact in all history. People, for 2,000 years, many, not everyone, have been trying to prove that Jesus never was resurrected. They want to say that somebody stole him. That some the whole thing was a fantasy. That Jesus never died. All kinds of things. And yet today there are millions and millions of people who are turning to Jesus because he is the only hope they have. In China, where the word of God is forbidden, there are more believers, true believers, you call them evangelical or whatever, I call them born-again believers today than are in Europe. Why? Because the word of God is powerful, so powerful that can pass borders, that can cross borders, can defeat governments with love. Let me put it this way. If the resurrection of Jesus and the subsequent resurrection of all the dead is true, then life is wonderful, beautiful. Life is exciting and glorious. A life that will never end. But if the resurrection of Jesus is a myth, a lie, then our existence is a mystery at best, and there is nothing left but the emptiness and the blackness of eternal despair. If Jesus is not alive and we are not going to be resurrected, if our souls are going to die with the body, then we are so miserable because we have the knowledge, because God has given us a brain. We're not like the animals that they don't know very much about spiritual things. Some claim that they do, but it doesn't matter at this point. God has given us the ability to reach out, try to reach out and find God. And yet those who have not found him, they have no hope. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 17 to 19, we read, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins, then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But praise God, by all the laws of historic evidence, the resurrection is true. Jesus Christ is a living person. He is alive. Death has no victory over us." In 1 Corinthians 15:54, we read, "When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory." Listen to what Jesus said. "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" he said. My question this morning is, do you believe this? Some of you, or many of you, or most of you, I hope all of you do believe this. But there are always questions. We cannot accept this because this says so, the other says so, one philosopher says one thing, the other philosopher says something, one religion says this, the other religion says that, but I believe? I believe that the only important thing on this earth is you, for you. The most important thing for me is Joseph and what happens to his soul. And I believe none of you can save me. I don't believe I can save anyone. My children, my grandchildren have to believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ to be able to enjoy the eternity. And you say, well, what happens when you don't believe? Jesus said, and I'll repeat this verse once again, "God so loved the world, that is you and me, that he gave his one and only Son, for whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." The word is perish, die. Because Jesus, people say, well, you are a Christian. You're Christ is sending people to hell. And I ask them, why? Well, because now you're saying that if you don't believe in Jesus, you go to hell. And I'm saying, no, actually, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that every one of us is going to hell, regardless whether you believe in Jesus or you think that you don't, unless you make the Lord Jesus Christ your Savior. You accept that free gift of salvation. The death on the cross is the price He paid. But His resurrection is His gift of life to each one of us. And once again, the question, do you believe this? And if you believe and you are saved and you have this blessed assurance, you can join millions of people who will be saying, praise the Lord. Christ is risen. Christos Anesti. However you want to say it, in whatever language, it means that this is what makes someone a Christian. The Christian who says, I'm a Christian, and he doesn't believe in the resurrection, he is to be pitied. The person who is worshiping idols, and he may be very sincere, he will not have eternal life. The person who says, I'm a Protestant, the person who says, I'm a Baptist, and does not believe in Jesus Christ's saving power, and he is not with the blood of Jesus Christ, and he does not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, is not going to make it into eternal life. Jesus never said, I came to judge you. Jesus said, I came to pay the price for your salvation. Altogether, we will celebrate today, I hope, His resurrection, because without His resurrection, we will all be dead in our sins. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for love. You love each one of us. Lord, without Your love, without Your compassion, we would all be blind in darkness. We were darkness. And Lord, because You loved us, Jesus, and You are willing to die on the cross, now we have eternal life. May the Holy Spirit touch each one of us and strengthen our faith and help us to continue our journey of life, knowing that we are getting closer and closer to be in Your presence. Thank You. In Your blessed name I pray, amen. Will you please